And welcome to Healing Our Brokenness, episode number 47, entitled Helping Someone During Grief. No matter who we are, at some time or another, we are going to experience grief in our lifetime. Some of us will not only experience grief, but we will experience traumatic events as well. There is no way to prepare for trauma. It sneaks upon you out of nowhere. It's kind of like an ambush when you think about it. And grief can be this way as well. You are not prepared for either of these things happening, and you don't know when and what symptoms will occur. I can remember times that I was in a grocery store and I felt like grief was literally going to overtake me in the aisle. And the symptoms of grief are different for everyone. Some of them may be irritability, extreme anger, regurgitation, digestion problems, inability to stop crying, bloodshot red eyes, blood vessels popping in the eyes, stressed out facial appearance, denial, magical thinking, dehydration, physical pain, eye troubles, and the list could go on and on. Job experienced trauma and grief. He lost everything that he owned in no time. Everything and everyone except his wife. For some reason, ever since I was a child, I marveled over how there was always one person who was able to come back and relay the news to Job about the next devastation that hit him. I have been there with Job. And when you get to the point of having such compounded trauma, you just end up numbing out. Your brain just can't seem to handle it all. And Job's friends came to support him, and they were fine until they opened up their mouth. God ended up reprimanding them for going on and on to Job with wild explanations for his suffering. And after the Lord had finished speaking to Job, he said to Eliphaz, the Temanite, and I'm reading from Job 42:7, "I am angry with you and your two friends, for you've not spoken accurately about me, as my servant Job has." Before we shake the finger at his friends, we tend to do the same thing. We give people all kinds of explanations as to why they're suffering, why things are happening to them. And sometimes these may be true, but sometimes they may not be true. And even if they are true, when a person is in the midst of suffering, that is not the time to lay into them when they are really having a hard time as it is. We are to speak the truth in love, but then as in Ecclesiastes, it says that we have a time for everything. And at this particular time, it's just not helpful. Things that are helpful would be words of affirmation, would be physical touch, making meals for them, making calls, running errands, babysitting, and sometimes just sitting with them in silence. And a lot of times as Christians, we like to give cliche remarks to people suffering. And those remarks might be 100% true and they're biblical. But sometimes, and I know I've even made the mistake of doing it myself and thought later, man, that might not have been the right thing to say. We might say something like, well, they're in a better place now. Well, at least they don't have any pain or suffering. Well, they did live a long life. Well, they're in heaven now. And all of those things are true. However, saying those things does not ease a person's pain. Sometimes it could cause them to become angrier. It could increase their pain. And it just might not be the most appropriate thing that we can say, even if those things are true and that person was truly sick for a long time. It's still the fact that this was this person's friend, relative, child, mother, father, grandmother, and the loss of that particular person is still going to be felt for some time. And if later after that person has processed and we want to add something in there like that, that would be the perfect time. A good thing for us to say as far as a possibility to empathize with that person would be, I am sorry that you're going through this. That must be tough right now. Something along those lines. And another thing that we do when we go wrong, and I found myself doing this as well, is that we are saying, well, at least it's not as bad as so-and-so who's got this, this, and that going on. And all of that might be true. However, we don't want to, I guess I would say we would have to be careful in having a pain competition with someone over who has the worst problems. Everybody has problems, and whether it's one thing or 50 things, we are all dealing with something as we walk this journey called life. And so I want to leave this prayer with you so we can all pray this prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for our friends and who are there, Lord, for us in the time of grief. Please help us to have discerning spirits when it comes to comforting others during this time, when it comes to the things that come out of our mouth that should and should not come out. Lord, help us to remember that there's a time for everything. And sometimes if we don't know what to say, just please help us to just be quiet. And we just ask all of these things in your holy and precious name. Amen. And if healing our brokenness is making a difference in your life, if you can write a review on iTunes, tag a friend on social media, if you can send us an email of encouragement at T like Tom, Horton, 479@gmail.com. That's Thornton, 479@gmail.com. Thank you and have a blessed afternoon.
He gave more than I could have known. He turned those valleys into places to learn instead of burn and perish away in nights never so cold without his grace. How could I say that I've seen the world from his great love? How could I know what he could love? How would I have seen what he had in store for me if I didn't give up and let him be my valley of grace, where things would change and maybe they'd take up the cross high again? The valley of grace never was the same after he had died. The love that refined, thank you. light's never gonna fade away. When I see I need more of him, he whispers the sweetest of mercies upon my ears, and I won't go back the way it was again, again. Change. I've seen the lights.